And we welcome our comedians. And today, it's Kia Ora Kōrua to Te Reira and James Elliott.
Good morning.
Good morning. Are you happy? Is everybody happy?
I'm happy. Are you happy?
Yeah. Well, no, I was happy. And then I tried to install a hose reel, and now I'm less happy. And so I've got hose reel based unhappiness, but it's not because I've been on social media. Yet another study that's come out to say that actually the social side of social media may not necessarily be everything it's cracked up to be, particularly for older folk. And by older folk, I mean people like myself and James in our 50s. Can't speak for you, Catherine. Don't know. Timeless. Ageless. Particularly if they're on TikTok, apparently, because TikTok, it's for younger people. But what the study has suggested for anyone who is going, yeah, actually, social media does make me feel a little bit sort of depressed, is they can't figure out, if you're depressed, do you go on social media more? Or if you go on social media more, do you become more depressed when you look at essentially their horrible state of all humanity?
I think they struggled with the study that they did because they kept pointing out that there were all these coronavirus and all these other factors going into it that suggested that, look, everyone's pretty much depressed. Therefore, anything we look at, we can cite as being evidence of depression or causing it. So, yeah, somewhat flawed. Yeah, TikTok, you've got to be in your 20s. Snapchat, you've got to be under 35. I think you and I, Radar, we should just stick to Facebook, I think. Is that for us?
I guess it is. Occasionally go on there. I like what the algorithms suggest I'm interested in buying. Occasionally they're actually right. I suspect that after this, I'm going to be inundated with hose reel ads. I'll be purchasing one of those, and hopefully one that's just long enough to reach my water trough. But nonetheless, look, if you are feeling, perhaps a little bit down, let me strongly suggest from personal experience, just abandon the social media platforms for a little bit and do something else, something constructive. Become, I don't know, a Santa, for example. There's a shortage of Santas, I think, probably equal opportunity. I'm looking at James's beard. We're on Zoom, so we can see each other currently. James, quite a good Santa beard going on.
A hint of a Santa beard there. There's a little bit of ginger stuff going in as well, so I don't know if that's very much Santa. But, yeah, if you can't get a Santa in the States this year. I shouldn't be laughing at this. I see that they've had 700 Santas have passed away due to COVID-19 in the last year alone. So, as they say, there's not enough Santa Clauses to go around this year.
For any children that are listening... I don't know. We should have maybe, because there are kids at home at this point in time. There's a lot of Santa doppelganger. They're elves. They're elves dressed up as Santas because Santa can't obviously be. What am I doing? I'm digging myself a massive Santa hole. And also, if you are going to be a Santa, probably good that you get, tested because, as one of these Santas points out, probably not a great look for Santa to be passing COVID on to kids who want something a little special for Christmas.
Tell you what, a story that caught my eye this week, and I do want to get a bit of public opinion on this, is incorrect bin use in Melbourne. So people in Melbourne, when they put their bins out, were finding tags attached to them by council workers, reminding them of things that should go in the bins and things that shouldn't go in the bins. Query whether this was sort of Big Brother or not. But, I mean, is there such a thing as bin etiquette? Radar, do you feel like you must bag up your rubbish before you put it in the bin?
Oh, look, James, I've been involved in a lot of bin conversations over the years because people often don't know what can and can't go into a bin. Yes, there is a bin etiquette. But the big question here, this particular council, you can't put compostable bags. You basically got to put your food scraps straight into the bin, which, you know, some people find a bit icky. But there was a lot, I tell you what, there was clearly a lot of big boomer ratepayer energy coming out here where they said this was an absolute travesty, a waste of time, tech ratepayers, funds going into finances. But actually, where do they want those ratepayers' funds to go? To correct issues at the source, or for all of that stuff to go to the facility and then be rejected or to clog up the machines and thus cost more ratepayers' money? It's a devilish issue. The bin.
Well, since you're the bin expert, slightly tangential question in relation to fly tipping. Are bins on the curb fair game? Once it's on the curb, have you given up the right for other people to put rubbish in or not?
Is it an extension of the commons, James? Look, you're a lawyer. Is there precedent for this kind of thing? Does the interior of the bin remain your personal, unviolatable space? And then what's it up? You can, I would say you can put a piece of rubbish in if there's something on the street. But if you're driving past, can you stop your car and empty out your kind of car compartments into the bin? You certainly, yeah. I don't think, can just stop and drop a whole bag of rubbish in.
And how would you feel about having the contents of your bin scrutinised at any time, just as to what the contents are?
Oh, look, I know that actually I've been a part of this. I've watched people screw, you know, the bins get tipped out and do rubbish audits. You know, mostly it's done away from prying eyes. But, you know, occasionally people do go down the street, particularly the recycling ones, and say, actually, you know, don't put that in the bin. That's not the right bin to put that in. I think that is probably a good use of ratepayers' money. Because we do have a sense that once it, you know, it's like a toilet. Once it goes into the mysterious bin place or into the bowl, you press a button or close the bin lid, it's gone to a magic gone away world.
Can we segue on toilets into this guy who resigned by writing the resignation letter on toilet paper?
Yes, we can. You can probably do it seamlessly, effortlessly.
I just love this. This is a guy who just wrote his resignation letter of sorts on toilet paper. Fairly brief message. He wrote on the toilet paper, "Yo, I'll be gone on the 25th. And then posted that in the various comments on this. I have to say, I've seen a lot of legalese over the years that should really have been written on toilet paper to start with. So I think it's a possibility of this standing out. I can see A4 sheets of toilet paper being made available.
Part of the great resignation. We could all go and stock up on it, should we just decide. Someone did point out that the legalese that, you know, it did lack a name, and I think maybe when the guy was actually leaving and perhaps a reason. But nonetheless, I think he probably got his message across.
Didn't Jack Kerouac write the whole novel on toilet paper on the road? Or is that like one of those myths?
I don't know whether it's one of those myths. Yeah, we'll find out. Someone will let us know.
I'm being told by Bob the individual sheets of paper were hung on a laundry line, but it wasn't toilet paper, was it? It's very hard to write on toilet paper. Have you ever tried to leave a note to someone on toilet paper? It's not easy. Shreds. I've attempted it. Yeah. I can't remember the context, but I've attempted to write a note on toilet paper, and it's not easy. It shreds, especially that cheap one-ply stuff.
Or the waxy stuff. You can't get your pen to get any kind of grip with the ballpoint. The ball won't grip enough to get the ink out. Hey, look, most important thing, we're coming up to barbecue season. People are going to drop a lot of food on the floor. Apparently, the three-second rule, total myth. It all depends upon what the nature of the food is and the surface upon which it falls. But as is rightly pointed out by someone, there's a sense that Julia Childs may have said this, but probably didn't. If you drop food in the kitchen and you're alone, does anyone actually see it?
Might have started with Genghis Khan, apparently. 3-second rule, the 5-second rule. But if you're a parent, you know this, right? First child treated as if they are made out of sort of gold slippers and whatnot. Second child, yes, 3-second rule. If the food's on the floor, that goes to 3-second rule. Third or more children, you just let them eat off the floor, basically, at that point.
You always got to wonder if it did start with Genghis Khan. What were the worst options of not eating the food? If he says, no, that's fine, I think probably eat the food, risk the bacteria, rather than be put under a veranda and trampled by horses.
Well, this article said the worst thing to try and eat is watermelon if it's fallen on a hard floor. So that might be relevant for the summer.
Yeah. Carpet holds more bacteria but less likely to transfer. So there you go. Keep that in mind when you're picking things up. I'm a picker-upper off the floor generally. Just as it said, depends on the nature of the floor.
Well, what you're picking up, indeed. Are some things more valuable than others?
Well, you know, like if it's a hard food, fine. If it's a moist, I think if there's moisture involved in the food, they said watermelon, particularly bad, because things tend to seep into it.
I like this. They said bacteria don't have legs and they require moisture to allow them to move.
Never let it be said that comedians don't provide education. This wasn't something I knew prior to this conversation.
We've had legal education. We've had food education. We've had scientific education. And Marnie Dunlop, who's about to take over at midday, probably won't want me to read out what she's just sent me about the rules with her 3- and 4-year-olds. I better not, in case she didn't mean that to be shared. But anyway, everyone will have their own rules. Sorry, Marnie.
Yes, they do. I'm quite happy to pretty much pick food, particularly if it's, you know, I don't know, just make your own minds up. If you're looking at the food and it's on the floor, don't wait too long. You've got to act almost instinctively.
Yep. 24 hours is definitely too long. To Radar. And James, thank you very, very much. James Elliott, our comedians today.